Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll be a small time of motivation, some inspiration, some education, always done without any type of manipulation because we don't manipulate people. We don't try to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you something. We are not trying to get you to join anything. We simply want to give you information. Information that I believe will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you do that, then you are free to orient and adjust to the plan. If you're new to The Flatline, a lot of stations are just coming online now. We're beginning to broadcast in new cities, new areas. You may ask yourself, how do these shows benefit me? And that's a fair question. As my staff and I expand and add additional costs for production and broadcast, we take comfort in God's grace provisions because we know that He provides the finances and we're not out trying to hustle money. He provides the inspiration. We're not trying to hustle listeners. We get it accurate, get it right, get it straight so that you can understand it. The objective of producing The Flatline is to make you wealthy. Not financially, not like some of these financial preachers you may hear today, but to make you wealthy spiritually. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in our earthly vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. The word treasure, he said, we have a treasure in our earthly vessels. The word treasure used in the Greek New Testament is the word thesaurus. You've heard it before. It's a word treasure, thesaurus. Colossians 2, he wrote that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Two key words, understanding, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in Christ Jesus. God wants to make you rich, to give you spiritually rich, to give you a wonderful, meaningful, full life. So as we move into this new year, you may be wondering what you can expect in the year 2023. And I don't blame you because I wonder also. For example, will the United States of America survive another year with all the chaos and confusion that we have in politics? Will the United States of America wind up being dragged into a war with Russia through NATO support for the Ukraine? Will this be the year that the Lord Jesus Christ returns for his church, what we know as the rapture? Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. That's called the exit resurrection, the rapture of the church. If that were to happen today, you would simply be raptured out. You'd be taken away. People would be looking all over town for you, but they wouldn't find you because you would be with the Lord. And there have been a lot of books written about something like this and what it could happen. When it does happen, what about airplane pilots flying planes that are Christians? And what about people driving cars that are Christians? Will they crash? Will they wreck? All this sort of stuff. And probably so. With no one to pilot it, no one to drive it, I imagine it would. So I'm sure there will be a lot of chaos and confusion. When that happens, where did all these people go? Or maybe it's not as many people as you think. So could it be the year that Christ will return to his church? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Could this possibly be the year that God would even call you home? Yes, home. In other words, is your life on earth almost over? Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and as it is appointed for men to die one time, and after that, the judgment. In Genesis 3:19, the Lord said, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's what God told Adam. One sad fact about death is that you may actually already be dead. You may be what we call a walking dead man, and I'm speaking of spiritual death. In John 3:6, Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, there are two births. The first is a physical birth. The second is a spiritual birth. And without that second birth, you will die in your sins, and you will be judged eternally guilty of separation from God in the lake of fire. I don't know who's listening to me today. I have no clue. I know we've played this show in over 100 cities across America. And a lot of times, people that are not Christians don't want to take time to listen to a show about the Bible. But just in case you are listening, just in case you are the one that has never accepted Christ as your Savior, please listen, you must have that second birthday, or you will die in your sins and be judged eternally guilty of separation from God in the lake of fire. I'm not telling you that you have to straighten up and fly right. It's impossible for anybody to straighten up and fly right. You can't earn God's acceptance. Because the Bible says, "For by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift from God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it." So I pray that this would be the year that you would accept Christ as your Savior and begin your new life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That doesn't mean you'll change physically. It means spiritually you're born again. You are spiritually born again. You become a spiritual baby, and God wants you to grow up and become a spiritual adult. That change is not something anyone would recognize and see. You could pray and accept Christ as your Savior, and no one would be able to tell you did it unless you told him you did it. But God is aware, and God the Holy Spirit will come to live inside of you. God's Word will direct you and guide you if you learn it and use it. And the new person you will be is a new spiritual being that will live forever without eternity, throughout eternity with God. But on the other hand, if you're already a Christian, and maybe this could be you, maybe this just might be the year that you discover your destiny in Christ Jesus. Maybe this will be the year that you finally understand and realize why God called you and left you here. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Key in on that word, circumspectly. "See that you walk circumspectly, not like a fool, but as a wise person, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." What exactly does "walk circumspectly" mean? The Greek word for circumspectly is akribos, and it means to walk accurately or to walk exactly. That word simply means there's a right way to live your life, and there's a wrong way to live your life. If you are a Christian, and this is who Paul was writing to, the church in Ephesus, you must learn to live the correct way. And that's called divine viewpoint. It's orienting to God's plan. And that type of thinking is introduced in the Scripture. While human viewpoint is related to cosmic thinking of humanism and is inspired by A.K.A. the devil himself. The Bible talks about this humanism, this human viewpoint, and here's what it says about that. If you're going to live the right way, you're going to have to change how you think. In Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world," that's human viewpoint thinking, "but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," that's divine viewpoint thinking, "so that you may prove that which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is perfect, the will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith." So there is something good, divine good, not human good, divine good production. That's a wonderful thing. That means you're doing a right thing in the right way, and you will be rewarded with gold, silver, and precious stones, according to 1 Corinthians 3. But you can also do human good. And what is that? That's good deeds done in the energy of the flesh. A Christian does good deeds a lot. If you're a Christian and you're out of fellowship with God and you have unconfessed sin in your life and you give money to the church or you sing in the choir, you go to whatever, That's a good thing, but it's the wrong thing. Good works, human good. The only thing that glorifies God is that which is produced through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that's divine good. God wants you to produce divine good, and it is acceptable to Him. It's appreciative to Him, and it is perfect for Him. So that's what the Bible says. You must think soberly. You must learn to think. You must not be conformed to this world. When you live by these divine mandates in Scripture, you can actually extend your life. I'm telling you, you can make your life be here longer. You don't believe me? Listen. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first mandate, with promise that it may be well with you, and, listen now, you may live a long time on this earth. In Deuteronomy 5:33, you shall walk in all the ways which your Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and a long life and peace they will add to you. There it is in the Bible. The Scripture tells you this. If you change the way you think and quit thinking in terms of human viewpoint and learn to think in terms of divine viewpoint, in other words, thinking the mind of Christ, having Scripture, then you actually can prolong your life. And part of it is because you'll have wisdom and insight that other people don't have. The secret to a long, full life is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, that's human viewpoint thinking. In all your ways acknowledge Him, that's give God credit, and He will direct your path. There it is. This is a great verse of comfort for me, and I hope it's a great verse of comfort for you. Because you and I, we have our very own guide through life. He will direct your path. Do you hear that? Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Let's say you've got a decision to make. Heads you do it, tails you don't do it. That's stupid. That's dumb. Why would you make a decision based on luck? You go to the Word of God. You find out what the Bible says about it. It does comment on when the decision you got to make is there. The answer is there. And if you will go to the Word under the filling of the Holy Spirit, in prayer, searching it out, acknowledge God, He will direct your path. He will show you. It's a great verse of comfort to have your very own guide through life when you think. You know, if you take a tour, I have friends that tour around the country, they hire tour guides to show them. If they go to the Jerusalem, they hire a tour guide to take them around and show them places. If you go fishing, you may hire a fishing guide to show you where to catch fish on the lake. If you go hunting, you may hire a hunting guide to help you find the game. And there's nothing wrong with having a guide, because the guide can show you the best place to see or the best place to fish or hunt, but usually it's at a fee. This is free. God will do this free. He doesn't charge you for this. If you will trust, that's the key to it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust is a word for faith. If you will use faith, live by the faith rest drill, one of those problem-solving devices that we teach on the flat line of your soul is problem-solving device number 3. If you will live by faith and not lean to your own understanding, that's human viewpoint thinking, that's you going out and asking John Boy, what do you think, John Boy, I should do about this? Or going out and asking Mary Sue, what do you think I should do about this? Don't go looking for somebody else's opinion. Go to the Word of God in prayer and ask God, what am I supposed to do? And it says He will direct your path. How does He do it? He does it through Scripture. He does it through circumstances. He does it through a peace and a contentment in your heart. You don't have to second guess yourself when God shows you His will. Because He gave you His very own personal guide to direct you through the distractions of the cosmic system. You want to see where that is in the Bible? Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples concerning their personal guide through life once He left them. In John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's for your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Helper won't come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He's going to send them a helper. The Greek word is paraclete, a tutor, a guide, to guide them through life and to guide them in what they're supposed to do. You and I have the same guide in our life. It's the Holy Spirit. He indwells us and seals us, according to Ephesians 1:13. And thus we are commanded in the Bible to let the guide take control of our daily affairs. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This is problem-solving device number one, rebound. And problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, when you sin, you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you do that when you sin. And when you confess your sin, as per 1 John 1:9, the rebound verse we use, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. When you use 1 John 1:9, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as you sin, you quench the Spirit. As soon as you rebound, you're filled with the Spirit. This may happen several times a day, but this is the mandate from the Bible. You must walk in the Spirit. You cannot allow your flesh to take control, and it's easy to do. It's easy to malign someone. It's easy to criticize someone, especially a politician you don't like. It's easy to have lunch with a friend and criticize and malign and slander some politician you don't like. And that's called sin. So the Bible tells us, don't be drunk in your sin. Don't be drunk with wine, where there's a lot of dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that is a mandate by God to you, for you to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, not your flesh. When you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, you will become a different person. You might not even be someone that people recognize. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow, does that sound like you? Do these verses describe your demeanor today? Are your friends, would they say that you are peaceful and long-suffering and kind and gentle and you have self-control? See, that's what comes under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we replicate the lifestyle of Christ, because everything here is identical to how our Lord Jesus Christ lived. So do those verses describe your demeanor? Are they talking about you? In this new year, the question I'm asking you is, will you discipline yourself to use rebound when you're aware of your personal sins? I'm talking about every day. And will you now take time in the future to study God's Word every day under a well-qualified pastor? Why is this necessary? Why must you be filled with the Spirit? Why must you study God's Word daily? Because if you don't, you will never experience the abundant life our Lord spoke about. In John 10:10, the Lord said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. That's the life the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you. By understanding problem-solving device number one, the rebound technique, how to confess your sin. By understanding the filling of the Holy Spirit, how to let the Holy Spirit control you and not your flesh. And by living by the faith rest drill, trust in the Lord, as we talked about. Then you have this phenomenal abundant life the Bible talks about. The Greek word abundant is the word perisos. Perisos meaning exceeding your wildest expectations. Much more than you could have ever dreamed of. Beyond measure in your life. So the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, it's not some prosperity and success in business. It's not wealth and finances. It's about taking advantage of all of the operating assets that God has provided you. And there are many of them. Taking advantage of those assets This verse is not about you chasing your dreams. Jeremiah, the prophet, spoke of false prophets who told people to believe in dreams. Listen to what God said through Jeremiah. Behold, I'm against those, in Jeremiah 23:32. I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, who tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and their recklessness. Yet I did not send them, I did not command them, and they will not profit these people at all, says the Lord. God again, Jeremiah 23:21, I did not send them, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel, listen carefully now, if they had stood in my counsel, and if they had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. I could name a lot of pastors that this would be wonderfully applied to if they had taught God's word instead of teaching a dream. Instead of teaching something that's not there, instead of getting into some sort of social gospel, instead of getting into trying to clean up the devil's world, instead of getting into how you can be rich and have all these prosperity things. If they had taught my word, then it would have been a different thing. They would have turned them from their evil ways. Jeremiah 23:21. Listen. It doesn't take a genius to look at this nation, does it? It doesn't take a genius to look at the course of American history in this century, and it's clearly an indication that somebody has not been doing their job, and that somebody are the pastors of this land. You've heard me talk about the fog that has descended over America, failure of spiritual leadership, open rebellion in the streets to the rule of law, God's word rejected. Fog, F-O-G, failure of spiritual leadership, open rebellion in the land, failure of God's word rejected, F-O-G. When the church got into politics, that's when things started changing. It's obvious to me, and it should be obvious to you, that we need a lot more prayer and a lot less politics coming from the pulpit of America. That abundant life package that God has for me and God has for you includes fantastic, what we call, escrow blessings. Escrow. They're held in escrow until you reach maturity. God has them for you. They're there. In eternity past, God the Father deposited all these phenomenal blessings for you. He provided them for you in eternity past. For every problem that you would ever face in your life, there is a greater blessing than ever before. Even for Old Testament believers, you have more going for you, and it's held in escrow. They're far superior to any sort of logistical grace blessings like food, shelter, and clothing. These escrow blessings that I'm talking about, these are blessings in time and blessings in eternity that are far beyond, and they're related to the filling of the Holy Spirit. They're related to the scripture that you have in your soul called practical divine wisdom that gives you understanding, insight, and discernment. They're related to all of that. When you see what other people don't see, when you understand what other people don't understand, you have a great blessing. The term escrow simply means they were prepared by God in eternity past and reserved for every believer who can reach spiritual maturity. And they include spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, blessings of association. All of these things I'm talking about could be a complete study on their own. The truth is this. I want you to experience God's destiny for your life. I want you to understand that God has a history and a ministry for you. But you must start seriously studying the Bible. You must start seriously applying the scriptures to your life. I believe that you've played around with this stuff long enough. You've compounded the problems that you face because you're not consistent. You listen, oh, you say, oh, I enjoyed that sermon, preacher, and you listened a little bit, but you never applied it. You're what we call a fence setter. You don't have time to study on a daily basis because you're too busy with your hobby, with your family, with your job. You can't carve out a time in your life to make time for God's word, can you? You're a fence setter, and you are not serious about your spiritual life. And I'll tell you what, you are wasting your time, and you're wasting God's time. And you don't have a whole lot of time to start with. So my suggestion for you today as we go into the year 2023 is for you to start learning those 10 problem-solving devices. and for you to now understand what God's protocol plan includes. You must understand rebound. You must understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. You must understand the faith rest drill. You must understand grace orientation, biblical orientation. You must understand a personal sense of destiny. You must understand virtue love between God's love for you and your love for others. And you must understand what it means to share the happiness of God and be occupied with Christ. There's a lot to understand, a lot to learn, a lot for you to comprehend. But you're not going to do it just piddling around with the Christian life. It's time for you in 2023 to get with it. It's time for you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor and start studying daily in your home. If there's not one in your city, you can do it in your home. You can sit down at your desk or your table and take the Bible out and listen to it talk to you by the means of electronic media we have available today. It's time for you to get with it. Your time is running out. Your time is short. This may be the year you're called home, and I hope you don't go home embarrassed. I hope you don't go home and say, God say, okay, have a seat over there. I'll get to you in a few thousand years. You want to go home and hear, well done, my good and my faithful servant. I hope you're listening. I hope you're being challenged. I'll see you next week, same time. This is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
You'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. The 1st of January, 2023. As we go into this radio show, this is 906 Sundays we've been with you, presenting the Word of God through The Flatline radio broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with me. Several of you will begin to notice changes in our schedule. You can always go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, and notice some of the changes. One of the changes is in Jackson, Mississippi. We're changing radio stations, going to a station that broadcasts out of Pelahatchie, Mississippi. We'll still be in that area. But this goes on all the time as we look at our schedule and we look at where the results are, try to find what we can afford to broadcast, where we can afford to broadcast, not ridiculous. The high prices. But anyhow, pray for us as we go into this 2023 year, headed towards 1,000 radio shows, and you can always also find them on the podcast. Any podcast venue such as Apple iPod or Spotify or Breaker or Anchor, you can find The Flatline there and listen 24/7 anywhere, any day, any place. And we are very privileged to have that opportunity to give you the information. Remember, you can contact us through the website, order any of our material free of charge. We don't sell things here. We operate on faith. We believe if God's in it, God will pay for it. If not, we'll go do something else. But so far, He has never failed. God's grace has always provided every need we have to sustain this radio show, these books we mail out, the postage, the staff, everything that we need without asking for money. Isn't that amazing how God can do that? All right, now, if you want to pick up some of the material, one thing I'd like to suggest to you is we have transcribed all of our radio shows into books now. So 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, we have it printed in a book, and you can use this as a daily devotion to read one of the radio shows each day. There are 52 shows in each book. That's 52 Sundays in a month, so if you'd like to order that book, or all of those books, go to the website and simply rickhughesministries.org, RickHughesMinistries.org. Don't go to Richard Hughes Ministries. That's a different person. It's RickHughesMinistries.org, and you can find all of the material that we offer there. Okay? Now, as we wrap up the holiday season, I don't know how you handled it and what's going on in your life, but I am thinking about many of you that may have experienced intense loneliness during these times. In some cases, people like yourself are simply alone because their loved ones have been called home to be with the Lord, and the spouse, the husband or the wife, is still here in this decaying world. I realize that many of our listeners are on the radio broadcast are actually part of the older generation. I know that. But I want you to know that you are never alone. You are not alone. Maybe you live alone, but that does not mean that the Christian is ever alone to face the difficulties of life and time. I actually pity the unbeliever, the non-Christian, who has no hope. No hope for the future, or even any hope for peace in his own time. Please allow me to give you a few divine promises that I believe will comfort you during times of loneliness. That comfort always comes in the form of peace, internal peace, and joy, with objective optimism. Let's start out with Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Listen to the words that were penned by Isaiah the prophet. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We start out with Isaiah 41:10, and a few notes. I was looking around, studying some different commentaries on this, and Barnes notes on the Bible says this about it. I'll quote him here. Fear thou not. He says, this verse is plain in its meaning and is full of consolation. It's to be regarded as addressed primarily to the exiled Jews during their long and painful captivity in Babylon. And the idea is this, that they had been selected by God to be His special people, and they had nothing to fear. But the promise is one that may be regarded as addressed to every one of us, all people in similar circumstances. And it's certainly true now, as it was then, that those whom God has chosen have nothing to fear. End of quote. Now, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has chosen you in eternity past. I know in my own life, I didn't go looking for God. God found me. I dated a girl that took me to church, and after church, she took me to a Bible study, and there I met people that gave me the gospel. It was never my intention to go looking for God. The Lord called me. The Lord found me. In eternity past, He knew that about me. That doesn't mean He elected me over someone else. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that He knew my heart would respond to the truth, and He made it available to me. So, I have been chosen by God to be in Christ, and you have been chosen by God to be in Christ if you're a believer. He said, fear not, I am with thee. This divine assurance that our Father is totally aware of whatever we may be facing, that's His omniscience, His omnipresence. You say, what is that? Well, His omniscience means that He knows everything. There's nothing hidden from our Father. And His omnipresence means that He's always with us wherever we may go. I am with thee. He's always with us. Here's the plain truth about it. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, lives inside of you. The Apostle Paul disclosed this to us in what's called the mystery doctrine of the church. In Colossians 1:25-27, he wrote these words, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery, listen to that word, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Now he's going to tell you what it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. No more need for an Old Testament tabernacle. No more need for the Temple of Solomon. Now we are the sacred temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives in you. If you are a believer, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, He lives in you, and your body is now His temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God has chosen to make you His temple. Christ lives in you. And so, Isaiah said, don't be dismayed. The Hebrew word for dismayed is sha'ah, sha'ah. And what does that mean? It means to look about in a state of alarm, or to fear, or to be fear danger. What should you do? Well, these are times for you to use a faith rest drill. Standing on the promises of God. That's problem-solving device number 3 in the Flatline on your soul. We have a book called Christian Problem Solving. I'd love to send it to you. If you order it, we'll send it to you free of charge. But if you can learn some of the promises of God's Word, over 7,000 of them, then you can use a faith rest drill and stand on those promises. Again, we have another book on these promises and principles found in the Word of God. We'll be glad to send you free of charge as well. So, standing on the promises of God. That's the thing. Relax. Take it easy. Jesus Christ controls history. He lives inside of you. There's never a reason for you to ever be alone. And there's never a reason for you to ever be afraid. Never. It says, I will strengthen you. What does that mean? It means that God gives you the ability to handle any situation in your life. Well, exactly how would that happen? Paul wrote it this way in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. The indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ is occupation with Christ, problem-solving device number 10. And through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you can have great happiness and great peace and do anything that God allows you to do, any objective He puts in front of you. You can handle any situation. He didn't throw you under the bus. He didn't abandon you. You haven't been left alone. He lives in you. He is with you. He sustains you. Don't be afraid. He will give you the strength to handle it, whatever you're facing. How do I know that? Because He said in the next part of that verse, I will uphold you. The Hebrew word tamak means I will support you. I will lay hold of you. Simply put, He will give you the strength to endure whatever trial you may be facing at this very moment. How does He do that? Through the faith rest drill and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Through the faith rest drill and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Filling of the Holy Spirit, problem solving device number 2. Faith rest drill, problem solving device number 3. Do you know all those 10 problem solving devices? If not, order the book. Read about them. Learn them. We got a bookmarker that's got them all on the bookmark you can put in your Bible so you can remember them. The filling of the Holy Spirit comes through the operation what we call rebound, problem-solving device number 1. When you sin, you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. But when you go to God in 1 John 1:9 and confess that sin, where it says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you do that, you are immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is that any time in your life, you are either carnal or spiritual. You are either filled with the Spirit or under control of the sin nature. Right now, I'm asking you the question, are you out of fellowship with God? Do you have unconfessed sin in your life? If so, this verse cannot help you. He can't give you the strength because it comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it comes by you using your volition to operate under the faith rest drill. Do you know any of those promises that are available to you? Do you know any of the 7,000 promises? It's like cash in the bank. It's like you've won the lottery, but you got to know where to draw it out, where to get it. 7,000 biblical promises you can stand on and relax. When Moses came to the Red Sea and the Pharaoh was chasing the Jews out of Egypt, and it looked like imminent death was upon him, Moses said, stand still and watch what God is about to do. Tamak, He will support you. He will give you the strength to endure whatever trial you face by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit and the faith rest drill. After all, where did you ever get the idea that you had to endure your pain alone? Where did you get that idea? Where did you get the idea you have to endure it alone? You are not alone. David expressed his confidence in God's provision and God's protection, even when he was facing imminent death. You've heard the 23rd Psalm said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David had complete confidence and complete comfort in God's grace and God's care. Note, he had no fear. That meant his emotions were not controlling his thoughts. This is where your biggest battle will take place, in your mind. You will let your emotions take over, and if you do that, you quit thinking, then you quit operating in the Christian life. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." It does not say, "Let these emotions be in you that were also in Christ Jesus." You have to learn to think. The spiritual life is thought. It's you thinking. It's you understanding the plan of God in your mind and accumulating the wisdom of God in your mind so that you can recall and apply the information in your life when you need it. In your thoughts, not in your emotions. The question is this: will you be discouraged by adverse circumstances? Have you been discouraged during these holidays? Have you felt sorry for yourself? Or will you pick up the shield of faith and put on the helmet of salvation? Ephesians 6:11-17. Read it. Ephesians 6:11-17. The shield of faith. Without a doctrinal frame of reference, or should I say biblical frame of reference, I always call it Bible doctrine. Without that doctrinal frame of reference, you will have nothing to sustain you in the day that you are attacked. Ephesians 6:11 talks about the strategy the devil has in regards to you. It's true he knows your area of weakness. It's true he knows your lust patterns. It's true he knows your fears and your doubts. And he will seek to persuade you to doubt God and to melt into a puddle of fear. Totally self-centered. Considering God not worthy of your trust. That's exactly the attitude of the weak believer. But notice the attitude of the mature believer in Romans 8:38. "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Three key things there. He's persuaded. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that love is in Christ Jesus. Persuaded, love of God, in Christ Jesus. It's obvious from this statement that Paul the Apostle is thinking clearly in spite of facing religious opposition motivated by satanic inspiration. He's persuaded, pytho, Greek word pytho, and it means he's confident. He has complete trust. Well, how in the world could you come to this complete, relaxed mental attitude? This type of confidence only comes when you understand the unfailing love of God for His children. Paul understood what it meant to abide in the love of Christ. John wrote about it, and he quoted the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what's in John 15:9. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. As a father loved me, I've also loved you," said the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the mandate, "Abide in my love." This type of love requires reciprocation. In 1 John 5:3, "This is the love of God, that we keep His mandates, and His mandates are not a burden." You love God? You say you love God? If I ask you, "Do you love God?" You say, "Yes, I love God. I do." Do you obey God? Here it is again. Listen carefully. 1 John 5:3. "This is," I'm going to add the word proof here, "this is the proof that you love God, that you keep His mandates, and they are not hard." Virtue love is reciprocal. We love God because He, first of all, loved us. That's reciprocation. We love Him. We reciprocate because He loved us first. And in 1 John 4:18, "Perfect love casts out fear." That's the secret to handling fear. That's the secret to handling adversity. That's the secret to having a relaxed mental attitude. That's the secret to being able to face any of the exigencies of life. The love of God. Understanding. Basking in it. Enjoying it. Knowing that He loves you even more than you love Him. The believer who loves God will be obedient to God's mandates. That means you will stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not allowed to get out of fellowship and stay out of fellowship. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you commit sin, such as a mental attitude sin, like worry, fear, does that sound familiar? Bitterness, anger. If you get in those mental attitude sins, or even sins of the tongue, complaining, maligning, criticizing, gossiping, or maybe it's an overt sin. Maybe it's something that's not very nice, like theft. Maybe it's a personal sin, like adultery, fornication. Maybe it's some other sort of some overt sin in your life. When you sin, you get out of fellowship with God. You cannot grow in grace out of fellowship with God. Unless you go to God and use problem-solving device number one, rebound, you will let your sin nature control your life, and you will do good things. Oh, you can go to church, and you can sing in the choir, and you can tithe, and you can do a lot of good things, but a right thing done in the wrong way is still wrong. And this will all come up at the judgment seat of Christ when we are evaluated to whether or not you produced gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether or not you produced wood, hay, and stubble. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The believer who loves God, again, will be obedient to God's mandate. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. The minute you know you've committed a personal sin, don't wait until you go to bed at night. Stop there and confess it. Now, let's put this into practical application. Let's say you're driving down the interstate and someone cuts you off, someone flips you off, someone does something you don't like. What do you do? Do you get angry? Do you react? And you get angry at them? And you do, and you've committed a sin. You could respond by forgiving them, but you didn't. You got angry. Your sin nature took over, and now you want to get up on their bumper and flash your lights and tell them what an idiot they are. How do I know all of that? Because I've done it. I've been an idiot many times, I promise you. I had to learn, just like you have to learn, to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, not let my flesh take over. If you love God, you will rebound immediately when you know you've sinned. And then you will be capable of growing in grace. The Bible tells you, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not asking you. It's telling you. This is a mandate. Grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot grow unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe you can grow unless you get a great pastor to teach you the Word of God, because that's the way it's designed in the New Testament. Read it in Ephesians 4 for yourself. He gave pastor teachers to teach us so that we become mature believers. Grow in grace. And then we live by faith. What a wonderful way to live. We live by faith. That means you put complete trust in the provisions that God offers to you. You never have to worry about anything. Where does that come from? Matthew chapter 6. Look at the birds. Look at the fields. Look at this. Look at this. God loves you. He will not throw you under the bus. He will meet your needs. Matthew chapter 6. Read it. Live by faith. Trust Him. And lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love God, you will stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You will grow in grace. You will live by faith. And you will lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the mature believer's life does not center on self-preservation, but rather fulfilling the plan of God for him to the ultimate objective. And what is that? To hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Not having fear is the trademark of the mature believer. Remember Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That's a trademark of the mature believer. In Psalm 73:23, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you," God says. "You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and you receive me to glory." This is what David wrote. "You hold me by my right hand." That's eternal security. "No one can take you out of the Father's hand. I give unto them eternal life, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand." That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said those words himself. No one can take you out of the Father's hand. That's a wonderful thought. You're not going to go to hell because you made some mistake and did something stupid. I know some Christians that have done some stupid things. They are still going to heaven. God didn't take it back. Once they were born into the family of God, once they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved, they are now eternally saved. No man can take him out of my Father's hand. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." That doesn't mean you won't turn your back on him. It means he won't turn his back on you. "I'm continually with you," David said. "You hold me by my right hand." God has you by your right hand. Just like a child trying to learn how to walk and the parent holding on to them, your Father has you by the right hand. And then David said, "You will guide me with your counsel." What does that mean? That's biblical wisdom found in the Bible. The book of Proverbs is full of practical biblical wisdom. You should read just the first chapter of the book of Proverbs and see the importance of wisdom and what happens to people who reject wisdom. "You will guide me." This is how God does it. He guides you through the Scripture. And then David said, "Afterwards you will receive me to glory." That's the exit, resurrection or death, whichever comes first. It's up to God. He makes that decision, not you. He decides the time and the place and the manner of our departure. And so David went on to say, whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. Does that sound like you? Have I identified you today in this message on loneliness? Have you gone through a season of Christmas and the New Year's being lonely and feeling sorry for yourself because you're alone, facing difficulties, facing health crisis, facing various things? Well, I've just told you how that's not supposed to happen. If you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will not recognize yourself. You will amaze yourself at the objective optimism and joy you will have, because Jesus said happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. My prayer is you will find a qualified pastor that will help you, that you will learn daily on a consistent basis. If you don't know where a pastor is, contact me. We'll put you in touch with one that can teach you the word of God so you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of God's word as he intended for you to do. So that, why? Why does he want you to do that? So you can replicate the life of Christ. So you can represent Christ to your generation. And hopefully, by doing that, you will learn that our hope doesn't lie in any politician. Our hope lies in the grace of God. Because it's only through God's grace that we may survive as a nation in the future. Until next week, same time, same place, this is your host, Rick Hughes. Thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Moment in History by KCNR Radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.